Amen. And truly, He is always good, whether we see that or not. And so often we don't see it because it seems like we're in the dark times and we don't see how good He is. But He is good. He is always good. We can praise Him for that. I understand the children are dismissed to go to children's church. Now, I'm not sure what age that is. So if I see any people I think are not children, I'm going to call them down. Sometimes we go to churches, they call it super church. And I say, well, I want to go to super church. Why do I have to stay? You know, and I'm preaching. So anyway, we're so glad to see so many of you here today. Or we're glad to see all of you here today. But so many of you we haven't seen in quite some time. There's some new faces, which is always thrilling. And there are some old faces, like mine. And some of you got that joke. That's good. There's some old faces here as well, including ours, and we love coming back here. We call this our home church, and we've been in a lot of churches. That wasn't what we didn't necessarily knew was going to happen, but probably since the Lord led us into missions, I've probably preached in over 100 churches, some multiple times, but this is always our home church. And we call you our home church family, so we appreciate your prayers for us. I know so many of you pray for us and do so many kind things to us, and so many of you do things we don't even know, but the Lord knows the ways you pray for us, remember us, and we want to thank you for that. And we need that, and we need you to continue to do that. And so so please remember that if you would. Am I scratchy? So thank you so much for praying for us. Please continue to do that. Just a little bit of update before we turn to Psalm 62 this morning for our text. A little bit of update for you. Some of you have already known about. Pastor has shared some things with you. Maybe others have shared. As he mentioned here earlier, we're in a bit of a transition. Not one we were expecting. We thought as the Lord led us into missions, the plan was originally we would stay there. I probably would spend the rest of my life in missions with the Gospel Fellowship Association. But things do change, and we're confident the Lord is in control. We don't always know what tomorrow holds, but we're confident He holds tomorrow. And we know He is good. He's always good, even though we don't always see, because things sometimes blur our vision or darken our view. But we know He's good, and so we know He's in control of that. And so we're just trying to follow Him step by step, what he's doing. We continue to love the work in missions. We will be giving an update tonight. I hope that many of you will plan to come back tonight to get an update on what the Lord is doing through our ministry there in Asia. And I think since last time I was here, we actually have been involved in, or I've actually been involved, Sherry doesn't get to go with me usually on these trips, but involved in training Indian nationals, Indian preachers. And what a thrill it is to see what God is doing, not just in China, as I've been many times, in the Philippines, where I've been many times, but now to be involved there in India, second most populous nation in the world, and soon probably to supersede China in population. Just God is doing some great things there, and I'm just trying to do what I can to train and help these men. And so I'll always share more about that tonight, and lots of different stories. I mean, just to give you one quick one, last summer when we arrived, I arrived in June of last summer to teach a course in the northeastern part of India. These men, these pastors who are training, all of them have seminary degrees. They're all working on a doctorate degree. Many of them are leading not just churches, but full ministries and Bible colleges, training Indian nationals. And they're telling me how God has saved them so wondrously by the blood of Christ. But they remember as young people, like the ones you just left here, even as teenage young people, going to visit Grandpa at Grandpa's house. And as they go in Grandpa's house, seeing on the shelves in Grandpa's house, the heads of former enemies that they had been victorious over. These were headhunter tribes that I was teaching. Of course, thank the Lord. They've been saved and redeemed and no longer looking for heads, as far as I know. But they were just so eager to learn and study God's Word so they can train Indian pastors. It was wonderful what they're doing there. So I'm going to share more about that tonight. Try to make it back. We do have some gifts for the children as well as for the adults tonight. I'm not going to tell you what they are. They're not real expensive, but they are gifts that we will bring back for you, and we want you to come back and get those tonight. And our display table is set up in the back, and encourage you to take a look at that as well. But do pray for us. We are in the midst of change. And we're not sure what the Lord is changing and doing, but we're confident He's in control. And that does give confidence. Though sometimes it seems a little slippery, a little confusing. And one thing the Lord's been teaching me is what I'll be teaching, preaching to you about this morning on the very important topic that our songs have also brought out about hoping in the Lord, waiting on the Lord as we go through life. Because we find ourselves there. We're not just sitting back and doing nothing. The Lord has opened a door for me to be the transitional pastor. That's a newer word to use. They used to say the word interim pastor. But to serve in a church as the pastor's retired, to look up their next pastor, and they've asked me to come help them find their next pastor. So we're doing that, and promise we'll do that through the end of May. We have commitments back in Greenville until that time, and then the Lord can lead us wherever He pleases. After that time, as our commitments will be fulfilled. And so we would appreciate your prayers, because we really want to be where God wants to be, doing what God wants to do. And so we would appreciate your praying for us about that. But until then, we find ourselves in a holding position, a waiting and holding position. I'm using some terms that some people like Jerry Bruchette would understand. But as you're flying that helicopter or, more important, that airplane in a holding position, you're still on the move. You just don't sit still when you're holding, right? If you do, the plane just kind of goes poof, like a paperweight, and it doesn't do very well. It has to keep moving. And so we're trying to stay moving as well. And I believe that's really the theme that's being brought out here in Psalms, in the Psalms here. David here, and we're going to be studying this morning mainly the writings from David. We're going to spend most of the morning in Psalms on this idea of waiting on the Lord. Now, how many of you like to wait? I'm glad there are no liars in this room. That's good, because I don't know anyone who likes to wait, especially in this day and age. Hate waiting. For those who don't know, Sherry and I were brought up in the D.C. area. We were brought up. I was inside the Beltway. She was outside the Beltway, and so that kind of gets in your blood, and you really kind of never get it out. So we're always don't like to wait, don't like to move, and when you do, you're tempted to beep the horn or whatever else. And so no one of us like to wait, and we live in this day when everything is fast. Fast, fast, fast. Fast food. I mean, I remember, some of you remember when fast food was sitting down in the restaurant and getting your food served to you within 30 minutes. Hey, that was fast food. Look at that. It's already here. You know, and I'm out of here in an hour and a half. Now fast food is you got to have it served in 90 seconds. You know, and then we're still waiting and saying, oh, this is taking too long. Some of you remember, young people, remember this, but some of the more mature adults remember a day before there was the internet. Yeah. Those were nice days in some ways, right? Just like when you used to walk uphill to school and uphill home from school and all those kind of things, 6 feet of snow and whatever else. You remember those good old days? Well, the good old days without the internet, and now we complain that it takes just microseconds to be able to draw up a web page, you know. But some of you now, I know some of you probably still have the dial-up. And those who still have the dial-up, the kids have no idea what you're talking about. So invite them to stand, invite them to come over and hear the dial-up on the computer so they can know what that's like, because they've heard about it, but never really experienced that. But we like things fast, 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 fast. We like fast cars, fast trains, fast planes. We like to do things every second. We're just fast-paced. And I would agree, and some of you would as well, that it has not made us better. But it is our culture. It is where we live. And it's hard when we live in this fast-paced lifestyle in which we live to wait on the Lord. At least it's hard for me to wait on the Lord. It can become very frustrating for Christians. I mean, God can heal instantly, right? So why doesn't He? You know, or God can drop money out of heaven. So, Lord, I'm ready to catch it. You know, why isn't it? Lord doesn't always work on our time schedule or in our ways, but He is good, and He always does what's good. And I want to encourage you, as David does here, as we say to this morning, I want to encourage you to decide with me that I will hope and wait on the Lord. I will hope and wait on the Lord. As we say this today, I hope you come to the same conclusion I have. And the conclusion is this: hope is not fast, but waiting is not passive. Hope is not fast, but waiting is not passive. And there is a balance there, a tension that goes on there. So I will hope and wait on the Lord. David says here, the first of several texts we'll look at is in Psalm 62, where he says in Psalm 62, verse 1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Then David goes back to the Lord. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So here David is meditating. Now David, you know, he had people trying to kill him. He had people working against him. But we have people working against us sometimes as well. We have troubles at work and so forth. But David is just bringing out this whole idea about waiting on God and waiting only upon the Lord. And it sets us the right example. We find this theme, where we're looking at it this morning, probably about a half dozen different passages here in the Psalms, of this idea of waiting on the Lord. Hope is not fast, and waiting, though, is not passive. Let's talk about the definition of this word that's translated. Actually, there's a couple different synonyms translated waiting on the Lord here in the Psalms. This word comes from the idea of looking eagerly. Like I said, it's not just sitting there with your eyes shut and totally quiet, totally passive in that way. But it's moving, it's looking, it's eager, looking around for the answer. Looking for God's direction. Looking in this way. The word, the Hebrew word here, brings out the idea, in the original, of twisting and stretching. Kind of like you think of a rope. You know, have you ever really thought about a rope? Probably none of us ever made a rope. People used to make ropes. We have taken the different twines and the different parts of the strings, and then you're twisting them together, and then you're interlocking them with each other, and that builds that strength. Compared to that, just have one string, or they were even separate, how they would snap very easily. And this waiting and trusting the Lord is an act of interweaving of the parts where God is strengthening us and preparing us for whatever may come ahead of us. It's a good exercise. It's not always pleasant, but it's a good exercise. And there's a tension that's involved there. And I wrote down, it's a tension between waiting and wandering. The tension between apathy and aggressiveness. There's this tension between stopping and straying. And where that tension falls is not always easy to find. But there's this tension that goes back and forth. When you're waiting on the Lord and letting Him direct. And all of us are waiting on the Lord in areas. It may be work-related. It may be with a child who's gone astray, or an unsaved relative. It may be a work. It may be a situation where you're trying to purchase something or looking to make some change like that. It may be a health issue. It may be a financial issue where God promised to supply all our needs, but why am I so needy then? You know, and we're stretched. We're all working through this. This stretching and pulling and waiting and this tension that's involved, realizing that hope is not fast, but waiting is also not passive. Waiting on the Lord, and I've written this down, I kind of summarize this way. Waiting on the Lord is that active expression of faith, trusting that the Lord will direct, lead, and answer in His perfect will and His perfect timing. And that sure is a lot easier to read than it is to practice. But as active, it's active. It's an active expression of faith, trusting the Lord will direct, lead, answer according to His perfect will and His perfect timing. Wait on the Lord, David says. Wait on the Lord. He only is our hope. He is, as it says in verse 5 here, as Psalm 62, He is our expectation. Or that's a synonym with hope. He is our expectation. Our confident hope is from Him. My soul, David says in verse 5, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. But at the same time, He's not sitting still. He's still moving the direction God's leading him. He still is pursuing God. He still is letting God direct, but he is actively, by faith, trusting the Lord will direct, lead, answer according to his perfect will and his perfect time. That's a definition I want to give you, a working definition of what we're going to look at here in the Psalms. Let's look at a description. As you work through this psalm, let's see a description of what it's like to wait on the Lord. Whatever we're going through, if it's a health issue, or whether it's a financial issue, a family problem, let's look at this description of waiting on the Lord. First of all, it involves obedience. It involves obedience. It involves obedience on what the Lord wants us to do. Look over in Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, David says this. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Where he realized and says this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It begins just obedience. By waiting. Now, once again, this is not natural. It's not natural for me, and I don't think it's really natural for any of us. Hopefully, as you mature in the Lord, it becomes more and more a normal part of life, but it's never natural, I don't think. Waiting upon the Lord, there are certain things we don't have to wait on the Lord in, and that's in the areas of obedience. For instance, we don't have to wait on the Lord whether we should forgive someone who has wronged us. Okay? You don't have to wait on the Lord that, you just obey. You don't have to wait on the Lord about sharing the gospel with people who need to hear. You don't have to wait on the Lord about being faithful to your local church and whether I should go to church on Sunday or not. You don't have to wait on the Lord about your giving, whether I should return to the Lord of my tithes and offerings. You don't have to wait on the Lord about whether I should be kind to others or not. You don't have to wait on the Lord about whether you should receive Christ your Savior or not. Those are areas we don't have to wait on. Why? Because it's already spelled out in God's Word. No need to wait. He's already told us this is a green light for you. You obey. So this idea of a description of waiting on the Lord involves, first of all, obedience. Because God does give open doors. God does give green lights, whatever analogy you want to use. And when that happens, then the thing to do is then obey. There's no more need to wait then when God tells us what we are to do or leads us what we are to do. It involves that dedication. Dedication, as is illustrated in Psalm 25. Look at Psalm 25. For once again, David is dwelling upon the same theme of waiting. Look at this dedication that's involved there. He alluded to in Psalm 62, verse 5, I'll wait only on the Lord. Now look at Psalm 25, where he says in verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed when the answer has not come yet. Because God's coming. God's bringing it. He will answer. But that waiting is hard. Let me not be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. This involves dedication. Not only obedience, but saying, Lord, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until you do open that door. I'm going to wait until you do give direction. And when you do, Lord, I'll do it. But I'm waiting for you. I'm not sitting back. I'm not lounging around. But I'm waiting. I'm actively waiting for you to give that direction. It involves that dedication. It involves prayer and meditation on the person of God. It's a good thing to do this. And as Sherry and I have gone through some of this, some of our lessons have come from this as well. Sherry has developed some lessons on the character of God as well as she speaks to ladies about it. It involves prayer and meditation. Look at Psalm 46. Many of you are familiar with this one, this psalm as well. Psalm 46. Where David, meditating upon who the Lord is, could come out and say this in Psalm 46, beginning with 1 and 2, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea. And then verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. This is not a psalm of David, I'm sorry, but the theme of the psalm still brought out. This idea, when we're waiting, it's good to think. Now, when we're waiting, most of us think about what? all the problems we're going to face, all the future problems. How am I going to do this? How is this going to work out? We all think. You can't say don't think. We all think. So what should we think on? Think on who the Lord is. Think on His character. Go back to the Psalms. Meditate upon Him. This was not David, but the same theme is brought by David once over and over again. God is my strength. God is my refuge. He's going to protect me. He's going to provide. You know, all these truths that we can think on. Because we're going to think, so let's think biblically. Instead of thinking fleshly and worrying, which, by the way, fleshly thinking is just called worry. It's a more spiritual way of saying it. But it involves that prayer and meditation on who the Lord is. And this description of waiting on the Lord involves trusting in God's promises. Trusting in His promises. Look over in Psalm 130. This is one of the psalms that the Lord gave for the children of Israel as they were walking up the steps to the temple there in Jerusalem. And they would go, they would have a song of degrees. And as they walk closer to the temple and preparing to worship, this is part of their preparation for worship, where it says in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Do I find the expectation? Verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord. Look at this description. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Some young people probably never experienced this, but now I'm getting a little more mature. I've experienced it from time to time where I often don't wait until my alarm clock goes off. And I know this is a surprise to some people who are younger. But to wake up early and you just want, how much longer? I mean, looking at how much longer? Just imagine before it was clocks. How much longer until the sun's going to come up? I mean, I'm not sleeping. I'm miles to get up. You know, and that's when we can, that's a dangerous time. That's the time we can start worrying. That's the time we can start fretting the day already. And we're lying there in the dark and we're fretting already. Well, now we can turn the lights on and get going. We look at the clock, see what time it is. But the person who's just ready to get this day started, they're so burdened, they're so heavy in that way. Well, the psalmist is bringing that same idea and says, you know, I wait on God more than I wait for the daylight. I wake at night and I'm thinking on the Lord. In fact, as he says in verse 5, I go to His word and I hope. You know, I encourage you, as you're waiting on the Lord and you're going through difficulties and you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, don't turn the TV on. Okay? Open your Bible. Start reading through the Psalms. Start meditating on who God is. Be refreshed in that way. Because all you're going to find on TV is just a bunch of foolishness, or they're going to try to sell you something. They sell you stuff. People who can't sleep at night, so they're going to try to sell it to you. And just open the Bible. And by the way, you'll find out you may actually be able to fall back to sleep. And resting the Lord. Or as someone has creatively said, and I wish I'd come up with this, you know, if you're struggling at night and you can't sleep, don't count the sheep. Talk to the shepherd. Isn't that a good idea? Why worry about counting all the sheep? He knows how many sheep there are. He doesn't need you to count the sheep. Just talk to the shepherd. And spend time in prayer and fellowship. But I wait on the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I find my hope, my expectation. Because once again, if we start dwelling on our problems and dwelling on our issues, boy, I tell you, it gets kind of discouraging. You don't even want to get out of bed. If you spend too much time doing it, you don't even want to get out of bed. You just want to pull the covers back over and say, I'm just going to stay under the covers. I can't even stand it now. How much better to think upon the Lord, dwell upon His word, read His word, think upon who He is, dwell in who it involves this idea of just trusting in His promises and claim His promise. And here's something that's new. Memorize some of these things. Memorize them and dwell upon them and realize, hopefully it's not news to any of you, realize God keeps His word. God keeps His word. So learn it, know it, and claim it. And find your hope, your expectation in Him. And I will hope and wait on God. But once again, hope is not fast. And waiting is not passive. It involves this trusting in the promises of God. It involves waiting on the Lord involves eager expectation that the Lord will work all things out. And sometimes you look at life and boy, it is a mess. And you look at your own family or you look at your work situation or you look at your future and everything seems to be a mess. But you can with eager expectation know that God will work it all out. Now let me go ahead and give a little, this is one of those little attorney disclaimers there. Okay, so you got to go down the bottom here. Not always the way you want to work it out. And not always when you want to work it out. But God can always work it out. As Paul could say, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, our need of our conditions are right there, right? That we God works it out, but those who are called according to His purpose, so those who are, in other words, who are saved, who are His children, who have trusted Christ as Savior, and those who we know all things work together for those who are. Now my mind's gone blank. How's it go? Love God. Thank you. Which we know that comes from obedience. Jesus says, if you love, thank you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if you are an obedient Christian, if you're seeking to live in obedience to God's word, then you know God's going to work it all out. But not always the way you want to work it out. I've always found He works out better than I could have worked it out anyway. But not always how I can work it out and not always when, but He will work it out. And so that eager, that's waiting on the Lord, this eager expectation, Lord, I know You can do it. Lord, I'm waiting on You to do it. He says that in Psalm 62, verse 5, our text. I'm going to go back to it. He says it there. We know You can do it. David's son says it this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what else? Lean not into thy own understanding, because boy, was my understanding messed me up. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct our paths. And literally Hebrew says there, He'll make straight our paths. God is so good, we can with eager expectation wait on Him to do what He says He'll do. Spurgeon, that great preacher, the 1800s there in London, said it this way, expectation, hope, is the child of prayer and faith. Just think, when you marry together prayer and faith to God, it gives birth to expectation. And our hope is fulfilled. And God works it all out. So this describes waiting on the Lord. Obedience involves true dedication, involves prayer and meditation on who God is, and involves trusting in His promises found in His Word and His eager expectation. Lord, You're getting ready to open the door. Lord, I'm ready. You know, I'm not going to be caught sitting on my hands. I'm not going to be caught asleep. I'm ready. I'm eagerly expecting You to do Your perfect will, and I want to be a part of it. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting for Him. That active expression of faith, trusting the Lord that He will direct, lead, answer according to His perfect will and in His perfect timing. So lastly, let's look at our determination. What I'm calling it, our determination to wait on the Lord. And it really is a decision. It's a determination we make. Okay, no one really accidentally or without really thinking or planning waits on the Lord. That we normally get ourselves in trouble that way. But the determination of waiting on the Lord is what we need to do. We don't wait on the Lord unless we decide to do so. And so David struggled with this as well, as we're seeing here from the Psalms. Look back in Psalm 42. This is one of the songs of Korah. But here in Psalm 42, it's expressed this way. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? It's always amazing how the devil seems to send people around us who are going to try to tear us down when we're struggling this way. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. And he goes on and starts claiming the promises that he has seen fulfilled in Scripture. And so it began this determination to wait on the Lord, whatever you're going through, whether it's a career change or it's trying to make maybe a relationship change, maybe it's going into marriage, maybe it's marital problems, maybe it's issues with family, maybe it's health issues, on and on can go, provision of needs, protection from danger, whatever it might be, the determination is, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to actively trust. I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to be sleeping, but I'm going to let God do that. And determination begins, first of all, with keeping your heart right with God. If you are waiting on God, you're determined to do that, then you're going to strive each day to make sure my heart's right with God. To make sure I'm not allowing any sin to get between me and my Savior. To make sure that I am in a right relationship to Him. To make sure there's been a time, an event in my life where I have truly trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't consider myself a Christian just because I go to church, or don't consider myself a Christian because my parents brought me up in church, or I was baptized, or I joined a church, but because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can remember when that day of birth took place, when my second birth took place. And that's the first step in being right with God. But then making sure no unconfessed sin stays in our lives. Make sure no unconfessed sin comes in our lives so that God can use us in that way. That we're searching the Scriptures to see if the answers aren't being given. God has given the answer in so many ways. That's why it's good to go to your pastor. Many times I've counseled people and they say, I don't know what I should do. I said, let's look at the Scripture. And people are just looking at the Bible like, and I say, it's been there the whole time. And just obey what God's already revealed to us. Search the Scriptures. And determine to be obedient when the answer comes. That's part of this whole process of waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we are waiting on the Lord because, and God has not revealed His answer because He knows that when He reveals His answer, we're going to disobey. I mean, after all, the trip from Egypt to Israel took about 6 weeks on foot. But how long did it take them to get to Israel, to the Holy Land? 40 years. Okay? It wasn't because it was that far away. It's because God knew they would disobey. I mean, that's what the Scripture says. God knew they would turn around and run back to Egypt. God had prepared them for 40 years to be able to go into the Holy Land that He had promised, the promised land, the beauty of the promised land. But they weren't ready. And God oftentimes knows we're not ready. I have often said, you've heard me say from this pulpit, I am so glad God reveals things in His perfect time. Because some of the things that we've been through, even caring for my mother for 5 years with Alzheimer's, and many of you helped us through that time, if we had known that was coming, we probably would have ran the other way. But we're so glad God brought us through that time. It was a learning time, a stretching time for us. It was a wonderful time for us and our family. But it wouldn't have been something we have chosen, nor any of us. And on it goes. God knows these things. And so part of this waiting is a spiritual exercise where we're saying, Lord, I will do it. Or as Jesus said, Lord, if possible, may this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And if Jesus had to pray that way, so do we. And praying for God to direct and help in that way. So keep your heart right with God. Part of that determination of waiting on the Lord is keeping your heart right with God every day. And ready for God to answer so we will obey. Secondly, spending time in persistent prayer. Confessing our dependence upon God. Why do we do that? We do that so that when God brings the answer and He works in great ways, our conclusion is only God. It wasn't me and my strength, only God. And confessing your dependence upon God, expressing your desire for His will to be done as Jesus prayed in the garden. Asking the Lord to give you peace or lack of peace as you make these decisions in accordance to His will. But it doesn't come just simply come to church on Sunday. It's a daily walk with the Lord. Daily it's deciding that you are going to keep your heart right with God. I'm going to spend time in persistent prayer. And I'm waiting, God, for you to answer. And I will obey. And thoroughly examining carefully all related opportunities that God may give us. Look over in Psalm 37. I'm kind of bringing these three points together here in Psalm 37. this idea of keeping your heart right with God, spending time in persistent prayer, examining carefully all related opportunities, knocking on the door, but allowing God to open them. By the way, I like knocking doors down. It's just kind of my background. I have found you start knocking too many doors down, God has to seal them shut a little more so that I can no longer knock them down. So when I go put my shoulder against it, it throws me back the other way. And God says, no, I will open the door for you. Yes, Lord. Do not force open doors that God wants to keep shut. But see God in His providence at work in your life. Examine carefully these things. Look at Psalm 37. Where David's still struggling some with his enemies and wondering. Remember David, let's put it in context. Remember David, youngest of the brothers of Jesse. Samuel comes to anoint the next king of Israel. So what does his dad do? David, really important job for you. Samuel is coming to anoint the next king of Israel. I need you to go out and watch the sheep. Right? A lot of confidence in his son, right? So you're the little kid, go out there. So Samuel's going looking. Nice boys you have here, Jesse. Any more? Well, these are my best. But any more sons? God told me to come anoint your son, but God's telling me none of these are them. Oh, I got my youngest kids out there watching the sheep. Someone had to watch the sheep so you could anoint the king. Bring him. Samuel anoints David to be king, and what happens? The current king of Israel, King Saul, I'm going to kill you. In fact, I'm not going to just put a bell on your head. I'm going to throw a javelin through you. I'm going to nail you to the wall. That was before it became a popular term. I'm going to nail you to the wall. He tried a couple times. God protected David. David's on the run. The army of Israel's chasing, but he's been anointed the king. And years went by before the fulfillment of that. And we struggle with that because that's just not how it should work out. But David had to learn to wait on the Lord. Look what he says here. We're learning from David's life. Things that are practical for us today, 3,000 years later. Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So don't worry about people who are threatening your life or trying to get you to lose your job or trying to, whatever else. Don't worry about those who don't have a care for God and that they always seem to be advancing. Don't worry about all these things, David. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, verse 3 says, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And what I have found is God changes our desires to match His. He'll give us those desires, and He'll lead us to that. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This determination is being brought out here. It's keeping our hearts right with God. And we're committed to Him. We're trusting Him. We're spending time in persistent prayer. We're resting in Him. We're waiting patiently. We're examining the opportunities, but we're letting God open the doors and change our desires to match what He wants us to do. And what a wonderful place to be in as we wait on the Lord. That's, as the world calls it, I should say the world, but our culture calls it, that's your happy place as a Christian. Being where God wants you to be. Where He can bless you and use you. Hoping in God keeps us from depression and self-destruction. Expecting God to perform His sovereign will. And He will if we just get out of the way. And let Him do just that. God is so good. So, we live in this fast-paced society. We kind of adapted. We want to turn the TV channels very quickly. We want our food to be served to us hot within 90 seconds. We want to be able to get on the internet. We want to be able to pull that thing very quickly on our phone. Everything's fast, fast, fast. And God says, nope, wait. I don't mean sit still. You do what you're supposed to be doing. You obey, you follow, you actively follow me, but you wait for my answer to come. You wait for me to show you your will. And He does. And when He does, we obey. And some of you today are still waiting, and I can tell you from the authority of Scripture, it's His will that you to be saved. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God desires you to trust Christ as your Savior if you have not. Why are you waiting to do what God already tells you to do? He desires, and that was 2 Peter 3 I was quoting from, 1 Timothy chapter 2, he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So obey that first step. After trusting Christ your Savior, surrender to Him. Allow Him to lead you. Let Him direct you. Let him lead you in your life. And many of these verses we looked at here, these things God wants us to do. Other things He'll reveal to us in His time and His way. Even in this fast-paced society, all we need to do is simply obey what God says. I want you to turn to one last verse as we conclude. This is going to be in Isaiah this time. A familiar verse to you, some of you probably memorized. Isaiah chapter 40. Where Isaiah the prophet probably had read these Psalms of David, meditating upon these Psalms of David. And by inspiration, he records this as we come to conclusion here. Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord brings that renewed strength, and we're running for God, we're serving God, we're doing what God wants us to do. Or as this unknown writer has penned, waiting, yes, patiently waiting, till next steps made plain shall be, to hear with the inner hearing the voice that will call for me. Waiting, yes, quietly waiting, no need for anxious dread. Shall he not assuredly guide me who giveth me my daily bread? Waiting, yes, hopefully waiting, with hope that needeth grow dim. The Master is pledged to guide me, and my eyes are upon him. Waiting, yes, expectantly waiting. Perhaps it may be today. The Master will quickly open the gate to my future way. Waiting, yes, trustfully waiting. I know, though I've waited long, that while he withholds his purpose, his waiting cannot be wrong. Waiting, yes, waiting, still waiting, the Master will not be late. He knoweth that I am waiting for him to unlatch the gate. My friend, there's no better place to be than waiting on God. Because he has a plan for all of us that know him as our Savior. He has a plan for us, and he wants us to walk in that way in his perfect timing. And in his perfect way, he will make that way known. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's actively pursue him, but wait on him to reveal and show us his way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as we're concluding this message, let me just once again urge upon you, because there are some of you here I do not know, that if you're here today and have not trusted Christ as your Savior, then you need to wait no longer. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything necessary for you to have peace with Him, your sins forgiven, to be reconciled with the Father and our Creator. He's died on the cross in our place. And the need today is for you to stop waiting and to obey and to come to Him. And so if that's your need today, during the invitation, I would encourage you to come and respond to that. That call for you to stop waiting and do what God's called you to do. And for those of us who have trusted Christ and you're in the middle of waiting for something, I would encourage you to make sure your heart's right with God. No unconfessed sin has crept in, no bitterness, no anger, but you're waiting on God, realizing His timing is perfect. He will do things in His perfect timing, in His perfect will, and you can rest in that. You can rest in that today. So determined to do that. And determined, Lord, once you make it known, I will obey. I will obey. So, Father, as I turn the service over to the pastor, we pray that you would work in our hearts and show us the needs that we have today. And that we would respond obediently. Whether that need is for salvation, for those who have not yet come to that point of trusting you as Savior. And for those of us who have, that would be the area of just obedience and following and letting you lead us and not getting ahead of you and not usurping our place, but letting you lead. We pray you help us to obey and give us the grace to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.